Showtime.
The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Latta.
All right, please cut this off before we get an FCC violation.
Oh, well, I didn't realize that was a possibility. This isn't like back in the day when Monty Ball changed his name to Monte Ball, right? And who was the other player for Wisconsin where all of a sudden we found out we had been pronouncing his name incorrectly?
Oh, I mean, there have been a couple of those over the years.
It happened with Mike Budenholzer in the middle of the finals.
What? Seriously?
Yeah. Like, his family came out and was like, hey, just FYI, guys, we are the Budenholzers. Which feels like, you know, kind of a big deal that you get your name right.
Which, well, makes sense because we call him Coach Bud. Like, it was always weird that Coach Bud came from Budenholzer.
But also, it's not like, A, he was new to Milwaukee. B, he was new to the league. Like, everybody called him that for almost a decade.
I remember I was working on WTMJ at the time. We did a whole story where we talked to his family. I, like, interviewed his dad. And you're like, yeah, no, we're the Budenholzers. And it just you know, stuck.
This is like a Theismann-Heisman thing happening here, huh? Where you just, it sticks. Well, they changed that intentionally, right? For marketing purposes.
For marketing purposes back when he was in college. And then that just continued.
And now it's always been that way. And then you find out, well, no, that's not actually how you say his last name. I had a Sneasels attack during the break.
It was impressive. You have had them before. Usually you cap it around three.
No.
Usually it gets capped around three.
I am a minimum five sneeze gal.
That was probably seven or eight.
And one rapid fire right after the other, which always brings up my husband's allegations that I sneeze incorrectly. Because if I have to sneeze that many times, I'm definitely doing it wrong. Brian G., you were telling us this morning about... This is your first Christmas as a dad, which is kind of cool.
It's sweet.
It's very exciting. I'm excited for you for having your first Christmas. And yet, you have found yourself sucked into the vortex that is the consumerism that is also the holidays here in the United States. Yeah. What's happening over at the D household?
You know, I don't know if it's me that's been sucked into the consumerism vortex as much as
it is. Oh, you're fighting it is what you're saying.
I'm fighting it a little bit. Yeah, I'm getting sucked in, but I'm fighting it. Yeah, just, you know, a lot of dough being spent, a lot of gifts being bought for our little guy, 2 months old. He's 9 weeks. That's another thing. When do I go from weeks to months, Jen? Can I rely on you?
Not yet.
When does that transition happen?
It just varies from person to person, right?
Regardless.
Once you're one, I think we're over weeks.
Yeah.
And months, frankly, right? Once you hit a year.
I feel like I've heard people say like 18 months
for
a kid.
Yeah.
So I feel like when you get to a year, like once you get past 18 months, I don't think I've heard, oh, my kid is 21 months. I feel like once you get to 18.
So two, we're capping it at two. When you hit the 2 year mark, all of a
year
sudden.
Year and a half.
So what about 19 months, 20 months, yeah, 21 months?
But yeah, I don't think anybody says that.
I'm not saying
but
my son
you don't
is
just still say 18 months. That's what I'm saying. There's a gap there of what
yeah,
are you
well,
calling
but at 18 months, then you're like, oh yeah, then you've transitioned to almost two.
I don't know about that. I don't know. I think
anyway,
you have to...
regardless.
Again, I'm making this up. I don't
He's
have
2 months old. He's 9 weeks old.
The hell do
old.
I know?
We're spending, not $1 million, but a lot of money on gifts that I'm not confident he's ever going to, know existed ever. He's just a little guy. All he does is eat and sleep and poop and that's it, and cry and that's it.
I feel like you guys are missing out on an opportunity to save a little money here,
you're
right?
Preaching to the choir.
Like I really do. Trust me, I understand the excitement of having your first child and that first Christmas and like the opportunity to have all of these gifts under the Christmas tree. But you're doing that because you want the reaction from the child. And no offense to you, Brian, or anyone else who has a 9 week old, but your child is a little more than a potato at that stage of life. Like, and again, as a mom of three, I can say that because I've had three potatoes.
Another example, my one-year-old nephew was in town over the weekend. We bought him a Fisher-Price like slide. The box is enormous.
Yeah, the little two-step.
Yes,
little...
for sure. And he's one, which is great. He was very excited about it for all of 4 seconds. My brother and sister-in-law live in North Carolina. So I have it in the back of my truck right now. I'm going to return it today. And then we bought them another one that we're sending to their house in North Carolina. This was all performative. Like,
that's
what
a
are we
wild
doing?
Sequence of events, Brian.
Talk that about PEMDAS.
A wild sequence of events.
I mean, yikes. It's a lot.
A lot of time in Target.
That's,
you know?
That's a lot. So they, because again, at least the one-year-old nephew could open the gift. But are you wrapping these presents for your son? But you're wrapping them just to open them yourselves. Because again, your son is 9 months. He doesn't understand.
No, he's 9 weeks.
Excuse me, 9 weeks. He's not going to be able to open the presents himself.
He doesn't have motor skills
no.
yet. No. Everything he does is like, you know when you had iPod headphones that got tangled and you just sat on the plane and tried to untangle them and you felt kind of like an idiot? That's everything he does right now. That's that's the extent of the motor skills.
Untangling the wired headphones.
Exactly. So I'm a little concerned about that, but it'll be a lovely Christmas nonetheless. But yeah, we gotta curtail some of the spending here.
I want to be on your side. I am on your side.
It seems like the advice is coming a little late, though. He's asking for it for help a little too late. It
publicly.
Seems, it
this
seems
is my
like
last resort.
Well, but it... Okay, Papa Roach, but it's...
Sorry about Tuesdays. If you think we're not bumping back with that next, you're wrong, brother.
But, I mean, it seems like it's a little late. It seems like all of these things have already happened, and now there's nothing you can do.
Yeah, and, you know, it's a futile battle anyway because my wife and the mama's going to win. Like, the love knows no bounds at
this
point.
What are you going to do? Yeah, fight your wife who just had a child 9 weeks ago?
Yeah, that's a battle I'm going to lose every time.
I don't even encourage you broaching that battle. I don't even encourage you towing the line.
I think I just did.
I hope she's not listening.
Is there a way that maybe you could take a few of the gifts and maybe space them out, maybe hold them for like New Year's? This is a New Year's present, and then this is a January 14th present, and then this is a January 28th present. Yeah. I don't know. I'm just trying to like figure out a way to maybe delay some of the excitement. And
I did do some future buying because kiddos grow quick, right? And like we're getting a lot of clothes, which is really nice. But like I bought him a jersey. I grew up a big Buffalo Bills fan, and I bought him a little Josh Allen jersey, but I got the 18th month one, so he can use it next year, right?
Yeah, well,
so
like, for sure, and it's going to be way cuter when he's toddling 100%. Around the house wearing the Josh, I assume it's Josh Allen.
Yeah, jumping
Josh
over
Allen
people,
jersey.
Right?
Yeah, that's going to be way cuter than if you put him on him now, and he sits there. Again, I love babies, but they are like potatoes at this stage of the game.
I guess that's my last resort is future buying, right? So it doesn't go immediately to waste, it goes to waste a year and a half from now.
I have been overwhelmed by the consumerism. I have been, you know, we're doing the thing, we're pulling out the gifts and figuring, you know, because we're traveling down to Illinois for Christmas. And so we're taking everything down to my brother and sister-in-law's house. And then we're bringing it down there to watch the children open it to then just promptly bring it back
turn
to
around
Wisconsin.
And bring it back home.
And then I got to find places for the stuff in my home. And I know that we are blessed. I don't want to make this seem like, but it is a challenge of, we always talk about the reason for the season, right? And I just get worried that my kids, they open their gifts, they look at them, they're excited for 5 minutes, and then they move on to the next. And it's that dopamine rush that we talk about with the phones and we talk about with the scrolling, and that we're just continuing to contribute to that.
This is why I have adopted a policy, and maybe I did it because I think my uncle did it when I was a kid. My uncle, for like Christmas, he would always get me like tickets for like a Bucks game or something to go do with my dad or with him or do something like that. So for my nieces and my nephew, I just buy them. So for I've got one sister who lives up in West Bend every year for Christmas, and I just check in with her before I do it. Hey, you guys still going to the zoo a bunch? All right, you've got a zoo membership. Because then they can take the girls. They don't need more stuff cluttering up the house. And they've got more than enough gifts that they're going to be opening on Christmas. They don't care if they have one from Uncle Gabe or not. But throughout the course of the year, now you can go to the zoo whenever you want. Because now you have a zoo family membership. I've got my older sister lives down kind of by Janesville in south part of Wisconsin. And I got them, used to be for Madison, but now they say they go to Rockford more. Children's Museum in Rockford. There you go. Your member's there. You go down there enough. Go have fun.
I really like that. And they do talk about how experiences can be much more fulfilling much more memorable than the toy that you open on Christmas morning or whatever holiday that you are celebrating. We, as you guys know, just took the kids to Disney World last week. For all the people wondering where the hell I was, well, I took a vacation. Sorry about it. But we took them down there. And so my husband and I did also discuss, like, does that count as a Christmas gift? How do we remind them delicately, like, oh, don't forget, we just went to Disney World last week. You know what I mean? But then it's hard to open up the experience that you had 7 days ago on Christmas morning.
Yeah, again, because the dopamine hit that you need from opening the presents. That's the tough part there.
Much more to come here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Do we have power rankings? Chewy's not here. It's Chewy's favorite segment of the week.
Oh, yeah, I mean, I'm sure Brian has them in front of him, and he's going to give some sort of vague feeling of how he thinks the top 10 teams are going to go.
Is he going to do it Chewy? Is he going to channel Chewy where he's like,
nobody can channel Chewy. I'm not going to be as dopey, but I'll do my best.
You're like, I like this list, or I don't like this list. I got one problem with this list, something along those lines.
I already looked at the list. I'll tease it for you. I got a lot of problems with this. A lot of problems.
You know what that means? I already know what that means. Bills are too low. That's a quick interpretation there. If you're looking for a new car, truck, or SUV, now is the time to buy because Ewald Automotive Group's year-end sale is here. They're saying yes to the lowest prices of the year on over 1,500 new and pre-owned vehicles. Yes to 0% financing. Yes to maximum trade values. And yes to no payments until 2026. Ewald's year-end sale is now through the year-end. Makes sense. It's all easy because it's Ewald. Just go to ewaldauto.com. Credit on select models. Interest accrues from date of purchase. Expires month end.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
His eyeball.
Wait.
Where do I get him?
I just assumed when I said wait, did you just think it was just a suggestion?
Yeah, pretty much. Typically.
On 94.5 ESPN. It's Chewy's favorite segment of the week.
Hey, big guy, you catch the game?
It's power rankings time on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Did you catch the game last night?
Can I say yes to you?
What will the big guy have in store for us today?
See the game last night?
Which game?
Any of them.
So Brian D has already told us that he's got some issues with the list. Did you happen to say a lot of issues with the list? I feel like you did.
Yeah, and it's not for the reason that Gabe stated.
Oh, I thought it was too, just for whatever it's
worth. No, my biggest issue with the list, without getting too in-depth, because the point is for this to be vague, because Chewy's a dope. There is a current team that if the playoffs started today, they would be in. That is 16th on this list.
Hold on. There is a current team on this list.
A team that's in the playoffs
that is
right now.
In the playoffs right now, but they have them as 16th.
Very easily, I know who this team is. That's the Panthers.
You nailed it.
And that's about where the Panthers should be. They're not a very good football team.
Last time I checked, they were like slightly above 500. Is that still the...
That is correct. I believe they are 8-7.
I am at a significant disadvantage this week, by the way, having not participated last week to know where these teams were slotted and then ipso facto take into the results of this past weekend. But we're going to give it a go.
But I think the Panthers are an example of what I'm talking about. This power rankings list is kind of just all over the place. I think the editors at ESPN.com that put this together this week were like, oh, crap, it's a holiday week. We forgot. Let's just throw the teams into ChatGPT and spin them out. And that's what happened.
What an endorsement for our colleagues over at ESPN. let's say number 10. How far do you think the Packers fell? This is where I'm going to say that the Packers are still in the top 10, but barely holding on. Like Tom Cruise, there it is. You're welcome. Hanging onto the cliff in one of those Mission Impossible movies. That's how I feel the Green Bay Packers are this week.
Yeah, really any one of the seven, because he's doing it in all seven, if we're being honest. Yes, I have the Green Bay Packers at number 10 as well.
Dang it!
Do I now tell you where the Packers are?
No. Well, if they're outside the top 10.
They are outside the top 10.
Oh. Whoa!
I might have guessed them at 9, but here we go. Okay, so the Packers
are
where?
So they must be 11.
They are 11.
Okay, and then who's number 10? This is how this works, Brian.
Number 10 is the Philadelphia Eagles. By the way, they have listed a rookie of the year candidate for each of these teams that I can give to you. The Packers guess. Any guesses at who the Packers rookie of the year candidate would be?
Who else could it be? It's got to be the
Packers rookie of the
year
candidate.
Got to be Matthew Golden, but he's not much of a candidate.
Anthony Belton? He's played the most.
It was Matthew Golden. It was not Anthony Belton. I
mean, that's bad.
But yes, the Eagles were number 10, which again seemed a little low. No?
Seems about right to me.
Okay.
Because there are some teams playing some really good football right now. And the Eagles are not one of those teams playing really good football.
Fair.
Carry the one. I'm going to guess at number 9 are the Chicago Bears.
I've got the Chargers at 9.
Gabe Neitzel. Damn. LA Chargers. Again, a little low. Like, that's a team. I think they've won 7 games in a row. Pretty quietly having a dominant November and December in their 9th.
Especially as beat up as they are.
Yeah.
Both tackles are out. They've got some injury issues there. So quarterback's playing with a broken left hand.
So that's back-to-back issues you had with the list. The Eagles and the Chargers, huh, Brian?
Yes.
I'm concerned that they couldn't have put the Bears much higher than this. Could they? No, they're not in the top 5. There's no chance. Bears at number 8.
I've got the Bears at 8.
Nailed it. Would you like to guess the Bears Rookie of the Year candidate that they have listed? Courtney Cronin.
Luther Burden?
Courtney Cronin is by far not a rookie on the Bears.
She is not a rookie. She wrote this piece.
Oh, there we go. Okay.
Wanted to give her a pop.
Who's
She's
the
great.
Kid that they just drafted? Rookie, get it? I know who it is, too. It's the tight end, I think.
Yeah, he sang in front of the team. He sang Mario.
Colson Loveland.
Nailed it. Nicely done. Yeah, nailed Bears.
It. You know, the guy that they drafted, the rookie, the tight end, nailed it. Thank
Bears
you,
are number
Brian.
8, 11-4, 8th on this list.
Okay. Shoot. So I feel like I know the top 5. At least I know who the teams that are the top 5 are, I think. I have Jacksonville at 7.
I've got the 49ers at 7.
Dang it.
Both wrong.
It's the Bills?
A-O.
Oh, wow.
At 7.
I thought the Bills would be higher.
Yeah, I thought I had the Bills at 6.
They've won 4 games in a row, but ugly victory over Cleveland. I don't know if you guys watched any of that game on Sunday.
Unfortunately, I did.
Yeah, it was an eyesore. I think that was the local early game on television, mm-hmm. and it was clunker. So, yeah, Bills are number 7.
So what I'm seeing here is that this is the 11-4 portion of the program.
There's a lot of teams, especially in the AFC, that have 11 wins. A lot of teams in the NFC have 11 wins,
so
too.
This is where I think it's got to be the San Francisco 49ers.
I put the Niners at 6.
Another 11-4 team.
Yep. Nailed it. What do you guys think of the Niners this year? It's always been a house of horrors, a scary place for the Green Bay Packers to go in the postseason.
You mean the matchup?
Sure.
The Niners' offense is really good. But now, even after they had 2 sacks last night, they have 18 sacks as a team on the season. They cannot get after the quarterback. They are too beat up on defense. Their offense, they put up points last night, but that defense
is good
enough. Is
that a Fred Warner thing? Is he, they're missing
Warner
him?
And
he was
Bosa.
Sort of like right there in the middle
Bosa,
of that defense.
Yeah, Bosa is the big sack, you know, big number sack guy that they're missing there. And they just didn't have anything to replace behind him. They can't get pressure on the quarterback to save their life.
It also feels incredibly unlikely that the Packers would play them in the postseason, given that the Niners look like they're going to be a wild card team and the Packers do as well. So there would have to be a couple of upsets from both of them for those 2 teams.
Sounds like you're breathing a sigh of relief on that, huh, Brian?
Little bit. I mean, like, how could you not, given
I get
the
it.
Given the
history.
Yeah, the history between the 2 teams.
All right, since I said this is the 11-4 portion of the program, I've got the Rams here.
This is where Jacksonville has to live, because there's no way that Jacksonville is a top 4 team.
Jacksonville is number 5. Nicely done, Gabe. I feel like nobody started talking about this until our pal Adam Schefter tweeted it on Sunday morning. The Jaguars kind of have the inside track right now for the 1 seed in the AFC. Like, they've just been sneakily creeping up the standings and winning football games, and I feel like that would be shocking for people. Like, we haven't been talking about it at all.
Well, I think that when they drafted Travis Hunter, there was a thought that maybe he could be a guy who turned the program around. College football, turned the team around. But he's been out.
Yeah.
So, like, this isn't like you dropped in a generational type player, a transformative player, and they were like, oh, now we're good.
Can you name a Jaguar not named Trevor Lawrence?
Travis Etienne.
Yeah, that's the only one I can think of.
What about a wide receiver? Anybody?
Oh, God. Who's their leading receiver? Oh, they still have Brian Thomas Jr.
They do. They acquired, Jacoby Myers at the deadline.
They just gave him a big contract,
they're
too.
They're just piecemealing it together. It's bizarre.
I mean, Brian Thomas is good. He had a really good year last year. Yeah. I mean, I firmly believe this. This is going to seem like a wild take, but I firmly believe this because the NFL narrative awards are just such a truthful thing. I think Ben Johnson's going to be the coach of the year. If Liam Cohen didn't awkwardly say, Duval. The way he did at his opening press conference, he would be coach of the year. But we were too busy dunking on him, rightfully so, because it was super awkward. If we weren't dunking on him for so long, he would be coach of the year. Instead, it's going to go to Ben Johnson.
I do think if they get the one seed, voters are going to have to reconsider that for sure. All right, number 4.
Just so you know, in case my silence wasn't obvious enough, no, I don't know any of the wide receivers on the Jacksonville Jaguars.
That makes you normal. Nobody knows any Jacksonville Jaguars.
What number are we on?
Number 4.
Okay, hold on. Let me go back to my list. So I still got the Rams out here. I still got the Broncos out here. I still have the Patriots, but I think the Patriots are higher. So I'm going to go with the Rams here at 4.
Broncos at 4. Broncos lost. They just got boat raced by the Jags at home. And they're going to be 2 spots ahead?
I told you I had a lot of problems with this list.
Wait, so who is 4?
New England Patriots.
Oh, come on.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Interesting.
Again, you look at the AFC. New England, is that a team that you like?
Okay, hold on. I'm trying to figure out, does that mean that they just don't respect the Ravens at all? Like, that they think that them beating the Ravens is like, yeah, but the Ravens, as you mentioned, Gabe, and as we've been talking about because they're the Packers' opponent this weekend, are just not that good.
Maybe. Because, again, the Broncos got boat raced at home by the number 5 team.
All I'm telling you is all of the hype that went into that matchup.
Oh, yeah.
You would think that they would have been rewarded more greatly for beating the Ravens.
I would agree. One of these teams won this past week, one of these teams lost this past week, and they have the exact same record. So I would have thought that the Broncos would have been 4 and the Pats been 3. But I'm guessing they're flipping, so the Broncos have to be 3.
The Ravens, by the way, before we get to that, 18th on this list. They're 7-8.
Yeah, they're below 500.
Kind of over. Number 3, you wanted Denver?
Yeah, Broncos are 3.
Nailed it. Yep.
I didn't even guess.
He took it. We can give you number 2. Our good pal Sarah Barshop wrote the wrote the little blurb here. Well, I guess I just gave it away.
Yeah, you did.
She has bounced around to a couple NFL teams. Yeah, and
she's been Rams. In LA for a while.
She's definitely the Rams.
Yeah, it used to be Houston. I don't know if Houston's going to be that
high. Which
is
fine because I don't think the Rams are the number 1 team in the league anymore, but I actually still thought it was the New England Patriots. I don't know how you're punishing the Patriots for
They lost the Bills a couple weeks ago, so that's why they're kind of down there, because their winning streak came to an end at the hands of the Bills. So Seattle's won.
The number 1 power-ranked team in the NFL is led by Sam Darnold.
Which is fine. Again, I'm not out on Sam Darnold the way that Gabe is. Gabe thinks he's so fluky and inconsistent, probably because the numbers indicate that.
He's just big game, shows up, guess who pees down his leg?
But he played a big game against the Rams. That was a big game.
If they don't get a punt, again, you want to talk about fluky? Getting a punt return and a touchdown and 3 2-point conversions. Like, he played bad. They were down 16 points halfway through the fourth quarter. Like, they should have lost that game, and he did not play well for the first 3.5 quarters. And suddenly he did show up then for the final half quarter. I still do not believe in Sam Darnold in a big game. Put pressure on that guy, and he is going to fold.
If you say so. I still like Sam Darnold.
He's a fun story. I like him.
Let me ask you a question. If Sam Darnold is still in a Minnesota Vikings uniform, how much more intimidating is that team? How much more intimidating is Week 18 matchup?
I think that was definitely a mistake by Minnesota to let him go and go with JJ, obviously. The scariest part about Seattle is having to go to Seattle in January, because the combo of the weather and that fan base and that defense should scare the bejesus out of any team in the NFC. That's the scariest part.
They've lost twice at home. Like, their home record actually isn't as good as you think this year. It's crazy. It doesn't make sense.
Maybe it's just Packers PTSD. Seahawks.
I think that's certainly part of it. But I remember the first time I saw that, like, wait, they have a better road record than a home record this year?
Well, and the number of
possible?
Times that people mentioned Seattle in the last few days, because they thought they were eerily similar, the way that that game went in 2014 to the way that the Bears game went, maybe that's playing a role in some of your Seattle spookiness. Take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Still a lot of stuff to get to as the show rolls on. I want to tell you guys about my friends over at Accutrans, because I use Accutrans for all of my private transportation. You guys know that when our high school football team went to state, we used Accutrans to get all the parents up to Green Bay for that game. Now, it didn't go the way that they wanted it to go, but The transportation was exceptional, and that's what you will get if you use Accutrans for any of your corporate travel, weddings, holiday events. Any booking is easy, safe, and dependable. Just visit their website. It's AccutransGroup.com. That's AccutransGroup.com. There you can get a quote. You can book a reservation today. And you can tell them that Jen from Jen, Gabe, and Chewy sent you, because they will give you reliable and safe transportation that I use over and over again. Have you guys been over to St. Kate the Arts Hotel recently? What a great spot they are, especially during the holidays. On the second floor, you can find the studio kitchen and cocktails. That's Milwaukee's destination for bold flavors, fresh sushi, seasonal entrees, and cocktails crafted with care. Start your day with breakfast. It'll fuel you. Then stop in for dinner that will spark conversation, or linger late into the evening with drinks designed to inspire. Flavors and drinks for every mood. The studio is the perfect place to gather, celebrate, and connect. Be boldly social at the Studio Kitchen and Cocktails, now on the second floor of St. Kate the Arts Hotel. No Papa Roach, huh?
It seemed a little harsh.
Was it?
I listened to it. Do you guys want to listen to it?
This is my last resort.
Yeah, it just, you know, morning drive. Yeah. People are, you know.
Suffocation.
Yeah.
No, what do you mean? No, what do you mean? Harsh?
I don't understand.
Yeah, I threw it in Q and I was like, maybe not. We'll stick with Huey Lewis.
Do we like Huey Lewis? I was thinking about this the other day. I was like, I love that we started the Huey Lewis Tuesdays, the Hughes days, if you will. But then I wondered if it was time to move on to something else. No? You guys are good with it?
I'm good with Huey Lewis.
What about another guy with a name, or girl with a name that rhymes with Tuesday? Like Bruce Springsteen. You got Bruce Days. I don't know. Like, come up with something for 26.
I actually thought you were going to be empty-handed there.
Yeah,
I'm
empty-handed.
Really,
I can't think of anything
really
but else.
Does he have something else that rhymes with Tuesday?
That's all
Bruce
I got now.
Bruce Springsteen. Bruce Day. All right. No, Hughes is good. I like it.
Okay, we'll stick with it.
Talking about the Bears. We're not talking about the Bears. We're moving on to the Ravens. We've been talking about the matchup that they have and talking about some of the injuries. Look, it is a weird day. I know a lot of people are heading into their holidays and you know, will be turning their attention towards that. But because the Packers played on Saturday and Matt LaFleur spoke on Sunday and they did nothing yesterday, as Jason told us earlier today, Gabe, we don't have a lot of answers about what this team is going to look like when they do take the field on Saturday against the Ravens.
And I guess I'm not that surprised when Jason told us they're just doing a walkthrough today. Even if quarterbacks are completely healthy, a lot of times this late in the season, one of your regular practice days just becomes a walkthrough day anyway, because everybody's beat up. It's a long season. And yeah, they've got to do something to try to figure out what the heck they're going to do at the quarterback position. You know, get into the facility today, go through your walkthrough and figure out, okay, how close is Jordan? What's the shoulder injury like now for Malik that he's been able to kind of rest on at the last couple of days, and start formulating your plan of what, because the other thing is, and while I enjoy having Malik come off the bench and you have a different type of quarterback that can throw defenses for a loop as your backup, Matt LaFleur is going to have obviously two different game plans if Jordan's playing versus if Malik's playing. So that he's got to start figuring that out, so he knows what portion of the playbook he's diving into for either one of his two quarterbacks.
And that obviously is a huge topic of conversation, but I want to flip to the other side of the ball as well and talk about the defense. We were not sure how this defense would respond with Micah Parsons being out with the injury, and that puts a lot of onus, a lot of responsibility on Rashawn Gary, who, by the way, it seemed like he was getting pressure. It seemed like he was at least getting in the face of Caleb Williams on Saturday. Maybe not to the extent that you would like him to, but he seemed like he was in there mixing up. But then I saw a video that was circulating on social media, and it was referencing him being a jogger, and he's always been a bit of a jogger. But then there were questions about, is he 100% healthy? Gabe, when you watch Rashawn Gary out there, has it ever occurred to you, have you ever been tweaked by, he's not the guy he once was? Is it lingering from the knee injury? What is your reaction? What is your assessment right now of where Rashawn Gary is?
It's just what Rashawn does. He doesn't, when the play, and he doesn't have the opportunity to get there, he's going to turn it off, and he's going to kind of coast in. And yeah, I know you can't get to the quarterback and cut him off, but if you trail the play and somebody stands up that player, whether it's the running back, whether it's the quarterback, you might be able to pop the ball out and force a fumble. We've seen that in the league how many times this year, where somebody who's pursuing behind is able to come in and get that hit that jarred the ball loose. Instead, well, I can't get him, somebody else will do it. But that's just, That's been going on all season.
I can hear frustration in your voice, though. Well, because resignation, maybe.
Yeah, no, it's more resignation. That's just who Rashawn is. That's just who Rashawn Gary is. If he can't make the play, he is going to not give the full effort to try to catch up to the play. Whereas, again, you see Micah Parsons with it all the time. Micah's flying around the field trying to make stuff happen, and Rashawn just, oh, there he goes. Nothing I can do. I'm just not that fast. He's not. Like, I'm not saying, but if you pursue behind the play, again, you're not playing 80% of the snaps, man. Like, Matt LaFleur told us, you've never been a high snap count guy. We then all did the research. You're not a high snap count guy. Why you can't give full effort every time you're out there, even if it is just, you know, running behind the play, just in case something happens. 99% of the time, yeah, Rashawn's probably right. Something's not going to happen. But that 1%, which when we talk about NFL games, the margins are where you win so many of these games. That one time can flip the game in your favor. And it's stuff like that, the play that's been circulated, which was play 4 of the game, by the way. It's not like we were deep in the game and, well, okay, he's a little gassed. It's stuff like that that I think makes him a candidate to not be a part of this team next year. It's not the lack of production, 8 straight games now without a sack. It's the lack of effort to me at times that you go, man, we can just get somebody who exudes more effort for a lot less, and we can give the money we're giving him to some of these other guys that we think are good young players and should be here long term.
And I guess to reflect some of the frustration from Packers fans, it's fine if that's, to your point, who he is, what he's always demonstrated. But when you lose a guy like Micah Parsons, your responsibility is amplified. Your responsibility goes up. And all of a sudden, things that you may have done that have gotten you through the league, you may have to add on to. Your plate may get a little fuller. And so I think that's where people are going, we don't have Micah Parsons. We need more of an effort from a guy like Rashawn Gary, who is expected to be a leader on this defense, who has to be a leader on this defense.
Who said all the right things going into the game after Micah got hurt, by the way, as well. Because he said all the right things about how everybody's got to, you know, and he did also say, I'm just going to do my 111th, you know, but everybody's got to do their 111th. But he was saying a lot of the right things going into that game as well. Understanding that he, you know, he thinks he's this great player. Okay, well, guess what great players do? They give more effort on that play in particular. I don't think I've seen that out of Miles. Again, I don't watch every single Browns play. See that on Myles Garrett. That's a big dude who's trying to chase down and lumber down, you know, try to chase down guys from behind. But Myles Garrett is about to break the sack record because he also, not only is he that gifted and good, he's also got that hustle behind him. It's the same. We've seen that with Micah all season long. First guy ever to have 12 or more sacks in his first 5 seasons in the NFL. And yeah, a lot of times he gets the sack because he's just that much better than the guy around him. But every once in a while he gets a sack because he's hustling on the backside of a play. And he's an athletic freak that can chase down some of these quarterbacks, but he still exudes that hustle that ends up making a play that, again, it's 1% of the time, but it ends up making a play that can flip a game.
Brian, are you okay with the effort that you're seeing from Rashawn Gary at this point in the season, given the circumstances of losing Micah Parsons and what that means for his role on this team?
Of course not. Now, I did see the clip that you two were talking about, and it did look like, if you want to give him the benefit of the doubt, he looked like a guy who might be dealing with a lower back something, right? Like, that's how I run when I'm stiff after a marathon. It's like I can't walk anymore, so my lower back locks
what
up.
Are you hula hooping back there?
Yeah, I got the skating little chair.
All right.
So if you want to give him the benefit of the doubt, maybe he's injured and it's just not, or not injured, but hurting. But he did look like he was lollygagging. Like, there's no ifs, ands, or buts. So if you want to view it positively, maybe he's injured and just doing his best to soldier through. If you're, you know, of Gabe's volition, this is a classic case of, I had my big season, I got paid, and I'm putting it on Coast.
I feel like Rashawn, while he doesn't talk to the media often, I feel if Rashawn was dealing with something like that, he would let people know. It just seems that that's his type of personality. Well, you know, I haven't had a sack in 8 weeks because my back's been bothering me. But I'm still going out there to soldier through. Like, I feel he would let people know that that was the issue. The Packers are also a team that lists just about everyone. If you stub your toe.
Yes. You're on the injury
report. Up in the morning before you head to the facility. Well, we had to put Jaden Reed. He slipped coming out of the shower today. So we think he's going to be fine, but he's on the injury report. The Packers injury list is the most extensive in the league. And I firmly believe if he was actually dealing with something, it would show up on the injury
highly
report.
Unlikely that he would be the one guy that they go, no, 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 we're not going to put what you're dealing with on the list.
That's pretty damning when you juxtapose that clip of what seemingly looks like him lollygagging at the end of a play with him from last year, I think against the Jaguars game, where he was doing like Allen Iverson crossovers before the snap. And, like, just getting no pressure at all. Like, dude, just do your job. What is happening here?
Is the writing on the wall with his relationship with the Packers? We talked about this earlier this year when Kingsley was all of a sudden out-snapping him. And we were like, hey, what's going on? Maybe we even alluded to, maybe there's an injury that we don't know about there that is contributing to that difference between the snap counts. But it does feel like, and maybe he reads the writing on the wall and says, like, again, I don't know. This is information we don't have. But that image, which that video that has been circulating on social media, has definitely caused reaction amongst Packers fans. And a lot of them were saying, loafer, lollygagging, don't need this. You know, he needs to step up. Micah Parsons is out, and this is what we're getting from Rashawn Gary. It was sort of a litany of that from that clip.
If Rashawn Gary was performing the way he was in the first half of the season when he led the league with 7.5 sacks, I think it would have been an interesting debate. Man, we're paying this guy a lot of money, but we're also paying Mike a lot of money. We want to sign extensions to guys like Tucker Kraft. And where are we going to get that money from? And I don't think it's much of a debate anymore. I just don't think it can be. I mean, he hasn't had a sack in, and that's what you get paid for. I know Jeff Hafley wants to defend that he plays the run well, and he does all these different things well against the run. But the reason why he get paid that kind of money is to get after the quarterback, because that's the play that can change the game. So for him to be out there, and he, let's see. So Engabari had the most snaps at that position, played 67% of the time. Rashawn Gary played 58% of the time at defensive end. Lucas Van Ness had 26 snaps, all the way down to Brenton Cox, who had 18 snaps. So he's not even getting the most snaps now when he is your top defensive end. I just can't imagine with the production that they're getting out of him, they're going to look at that money that they can save by cutting him and going, that's money we can allocate better elsewhere on this team, because we've got guys that are coming up that we want to pay.
More to get to here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Guys, I'm telling you, if you're making plans to propose to that special someone in your life, the Jewelry Center is the only place to go for that ring. They're the best place to shop for diamond engagement rings in Milwaukee for a reason. It's what I did. And the reason why they're the best is the team. Whether you go into Brookfield, Greenfield, or in Burlington, you are going to find a helpful team that wants to make that dream ring become a reality. Whether it's a naturally grown diamond, a lab-grown diamond, whatever you're in the market for, when it comes to that engagement ring, the Jewelry Center has you covered. If you have an idea, if you don't, go to our Pinterest page, bring those ideas in. The Jewelry Center is always going to be there to help you out. Greenfield, Brookfield, or in Burlington, check them out online as well. Shop TJC.com.
Your state, your teams, your ESPN. The ESPN Wisconsin app. Find the ESPN Wisconsin app in the Apple or Android app stores today. More Jen, Gabe, and Chewy coming up on 94.5 ESPN. It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Have you never had a good pie?
I've had fine pies.
You get no pie.
Right now, yeah.
I mean, seems that way anyway. But if we get him on those dating sites, it feels like maybe he could.
Yeah. On 94.5 ESPN.
Here we go.
When a trophy is raised, it can feel like the season is over, but on the ESPN app, it never really is, because with more than 47,000 live events, plus originals, highlights, and coverage from every corner of the sports world, there is always something to dive into. There's no off-season, of course, just everything a fan needs to keep going. Always in season, get all of ESPN all in one place. Download the ESPN app on your TV or phone today. Ryan from Iguanago weighing in on the Carbless Talk and Text Line 800-990-3776. He says, happy holidays to you, Gabe, Jen, and Brian on Wisconsin.
Sure.
I thought you were going to go.
I mean, we don't have a whole lot of legs to stand on as Marquette 100%. Alums right now.
Yeah, we are all the Marquette folks in here.
Jeff Goodman tweeted the other day that Marquette has the third lowest net ranking of any Power 5 school in the country right now. So I still believe in Shaka in that program, but yeah, as far as Ryan goes, we don't have a lot to talk about.
Yeah, I'm not doing this today. Okay, I'm leaving in a merry mood and a festive mood. Talking about Marquette is not the way to accomplish that.
And they've got 10 days to retool here. Hopefully, by the 30th, things are going to start looking a little bit better.
We're a 2026 team.
Yikes. Are you guys willing to at least try the experiment with me of marry
Absolutely not.
Come on. I think we could get this thing going. Merry birthday. Merry Thanksgiving.
So our next opportunity would be Merry New Year.
Correct. Let's try it. I'm just going to say it to people and see what they do.
I'm out. I don't want to stop and have conversations with people while I'm saying Merry New Year. It doesn't seem like an effective use of time.
You like it, huh?
I'm good with it. Jen, can you at your family gatherings around New Year's, if you're at a party, maybe you go to Pottawatomie for a New Year's party, have somebody just kind of film you doing it. We can splice the clips together and 100%. see how it goes.
Yeah, just see what people's reactions are. Maybe someone just follows me around with a video camera.
They're going to think you're drunk.
But I'm not drunk.
But they're going to think you are.
Well, again, doesn't affect me in the slightest. Your opinion of me has nothing to do with me. Or what is it? It's none of my business. There it is. I got to get off the YouTube stream.
Not a lot of good opinions there of anybody, really.
We should put it on the poll, though. If someone said Merry New Year to you, would you look at them strangely?
Yes. As Homer used to say, that's going to be a new male. Better 98%.
You think 98% of people are going to say they would look at me strangely?
Yeah. Yes.
Yes.
I just think you should try it. Mix it up a little, you
know? One of those rare things that can unify Twitter, kind of like Jake Paul getting knocked out on Friday, unified everybody. Everybody was rooting for it.
I didn't realize that.
Oh, it was... Everybody was rooting for it, and then it happened.
All right. Well, that's good to know also. All right. Thanks for hanging out with us this morning, guys. Have a very Merry Christmas, a very Happy New Year. We will see you guys on the other side. Be safe out there, and we'll see you very soon.